of Isaiah chapter 14. And tonight we want to read verse number 12 down through verse number 14. Isaiah 14, verse 12 through verse number 14. We preached on this not too long ago, but tonight we want to use a different subject. Tonight we want to preach about this subject. Satan has tricked the world. And really, this is what he's doing. Satan has fooled the world into believing one thing when it's really another way. This is what Satan did to the woman in the Garden of Eden, and this is what he's doing today. He is tricking people, leading people down the wrong path. Notice what the Bible said here. In Isaiah 14, verses 12 through verse number 14, he says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which it has weakened the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will exalt, I will ascend in heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." And verse 15 tells us his intimate failure. "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms?" Can you believe that verse number 16 will actually come to pass? That there will be people that will look at the devil and they will say, "Is this the one? Is this the one that has tricked us? Is he the one?" So tonight we want to preach about the subject. Satan has actually tricked the world. And I tell you what, Satan has not only tricked the world, but Satan is out to trick us too. Don't think that we're immune. We're not immune. Satan is out to get us. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer tonight as we continue in our worship and prayer service and song of worship. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, tonight that you might help us to be what you want us to be. Lord, I pray that we might, as we study this passage, Lord, to understand, Lord, that Satan is going down. But Lord, he's not down yet. And Lord, we still have a job to do, and that job is to fight, Lord, as long as we can. Lord, as long as we're trusting in you, we'll have the victory. I pray, Lord, you might just keep us from harm, watch over us, and bless us tonight. Help us to be faithful to you. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Satan, as we call him today, but in these days he was called Lucifer. Satan started out in verse number 12 by being a light bearer. This is what the name Lucifer really means. He is supposed to be a light bearer, but his name has been changed to Satan. And that name means an adversity, or the one who withstands. So this is a dramatic change that's taking place. Names in the Bible are used to describe a person or a situation. And here in the Bible, in verse number 12 of Isaiah 14, he is called Lucifer. He is called the one that is the light bearer. He is supposed to be one who points everything unto the Lord, unto God. He's supposed to give glory and honor and praise unto the Lord. But he has fallen from heaven. Somebody would say, Lucifer is the one that carries the sun and the moon upon his back. But he's not the one. In mythology, that is the one Atlas. But rather, it's talking here about his job is to glorify and honor and praise the Lord, but he has step down from that. Verse number 14. How art thou fallen from heaven? So Satan has taken a downward turn here. Satan, Lucifer, is not the only one that's supposed to shine forth the glory of God. The 24 elders, they give glory unto God for their salvation. The four beasts, the Bible says that they give glory unto God continually, and they're starting out in the book of Isaiah, but they're also in the book of Revelation. They always give glory and honor and praise unto the Lord. But when Lucifer stopped being a light bearer, he became one who withstands. He became an adversary, is what he became. The Bible says here in verse number 12 that he is cut down to the ground. The Bible says that he is the one that has weakened the nations. You know how he's done that? By causing people to look to their strength, to their army, to their weapons, to what they can do. That's how he's done it. He's weakened the nations. If we would look to God and God alone, he can do more than all the armament that this world has. Read in the Bible and see how Gideon defeated the Midianites. How did he do that? He went to battle with a bunch of guys, 32,000, and wound up with 300, and they won the victory. God can do things that we never even thought about. God destroyed the nation of Egypt in the Red Sea, and Israel didn't have to fire a shot. They had nothing to do. There's many times in the Bible that the victory God gave so that people would understand that He is in charge. In the book, the Bible tells us about Hezekiah that there was a great big army against them. And you know how they defeated them? Well, God did it. But God said, you put your singers out before everybody else. I think they were good singers. They sung praises unto the Lord, and God defeated the armies that were against the nation of Israel. God does that. God can do things that we never even thought about. If we just don't trust ourselves and trust God, He can do more than we ever even dreamed of that doing. But Lucifer here, he is fooling people, making them look only at themselves. That's the whole thing that Satan is doing, is making people look at themselves and think, I have the strength here in these two hands. But we don't have the strength. We don't have the ability at all to defeat Satan at all. The earliest book that's written in the Bible is, I think, is Job. And look in the book of Job. Just for a little bit. In the book of Job, chapter number 1. Job, chapter number 1. Now, notice, first of all, that in verse number 6, Job 1 and verse number 6, there was a time, as the Bible says, verse number 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And who came? Satan. It was not Lucifer. You see, when Satan was the light bearer, his name is called Lucifer. But when he's against the things of God, then his name is called Satan. And the Bible says in verse number 6 that Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Have you ever considered this man Job? In verse number 9, Job, here is his complaint. And he's always got one. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? In other words, Satan is saying to God, the reason that Job is being faithful is because you protected him. And you have given him a lot of wealth. The Bible talks about in verse number 1 down to verse number 5, all the wealth that Job had. He had a lot of wealth. Verse number 10. Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. That's a bad accusation. But Satan is not like God. Satan can only see what's on the outside and not what's on the inside. Satan can only see the things that Job does, but he cannot see the reasoning of the thoughts of his heart. And that's hidden from him. It's a lot like us, because you really can't tell what I'm thinking. And I really can't tell what you're thinking. I can see by your actions, and over a period of time, I can gain confidence that you're telling that you're going the right way. But I really can't see what you're thinking. It takes a while before the truth will really come out. In verse number 12, God said, the Lord said unto Satan, Behold, all that he has is in thy power, only upon himself, but not for thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. So, Satan caused Job to lose everything that he had. I mean, he lost everything instantly. In one day, if I read the scripture right, in one day this all happened. In verse number 20, here's what happened. And Job arose, and rent his mantle, and shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground. And what did he do next? He fell down upon the ground, and then what did he do? He worshipped. He worshipped God. May God help us to worship Him when bad things happen. May God help us to worship Him when good things happen. May God help us to worship Him regardless of what happens. May God help us every day to be what we need to be. Like Job was a faithful man of God. The Bible said in verse 21, He said, Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Notice in verse number 21. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know what that means? In the name of? That means authority. Job is recognizing the power of Almighty God over his life. He is recognizing that God is the one that takes care of all of that. But doesn't end there. in chapter 2. The Bible said, again, those days when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And here in verse number 1, the Bible uses the term Satan again, not Lucifer, because he's no longer a one that proclaims that God is the real light. Satan is a deceiver now. And he is appearing before the Lord again. And he asked God to take away everything that he has, even his health. But don't kill him. That's what God gave him permission to do. Notice that Satan knows who's in control. God is in control. Satan's not. He has to go to God to get permission. And that's what he does. The Bible says in verse number 9 that he was very, very, very sick. Had sore boils. I've never had a boil. I've had some bad skin ailments, but never had a boil. My dad talked about those. It's just terrible. I don't know. He tried to describe it to me, but I couldn't get it at all because I never had one. But he had sore boils. There wasn't one, it's more than one, several of them, from the sole of his foot unto his crown, top of his head, from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head. He had them all over himself. He took a piece of a broken clay pot to scratch himself with all, and sat down among the ashes. Verse number 9. Then said his wife unto him. Here's what I'm saying, is that only you know what you will do when it gets tough. When it looks like that everything is going against you, only you know what you'll do. His wife didn't even know this. Now, she had lost her children too. But his wife, she said, why don't you just curse God and die? You still retain your integrity. Curse God and die. Verse number 10. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? See, God gave Job protection in his, all thing he had left was in his integrity. That's all he had left, nothing else. I read this so that you can understand that this is the only record that I could think of. There's probably somebody else, but I couldn't think who it is. I thought of Jeremiah as well. That Jeremiah went through a lot of things in his life, in his ministry. I think that Isaiah also went through many different kinds of troubles and trials. But here the book of Job is written for us. And it's written as one of the first books of the Bible, telling us that this man was very faithful to God, even though Satan had attacked him over and over and over again. Satan has a quest that he wants to achieve. And that quest is revealed to us in Isaiah 14. He wants to sit down in the very place where God is. Notice in verse number 13 of Isaiah 14 and verse number 13. And thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. Notice that. Satan has a throne, and he says, I want to exalt my throne above the stars of God. That is all the angels, everything else of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. This is what Satan had on his mind to do. And Satan will not let anything stand in his way. nothing will stand in his way at all. Satan could not stop the four living creatures from praising God. They're created beings. And they're created specifically for the purpose of exalting and praising Almighty God. That's what they're for. And that's what they do. Satan could not overcome these living creatures, but he could cause havoc with the angels. He could. And if I read the scripture right, there were many, many angels that followed Satan. Satan could influence anybody that had a free will. And angels have a free will. Men have a free will. This means angels and you and me, as well as millions of others, can be deceived by Satan. And Satan would love to get his hands upon us. Satan can make us think we would be so much better off if we did what we want to do instead of doing what God wants us to do. That's Satan's plan, is to tell us we can do much, much more if we just leave God out of things. Now, this world wants to leave God out of everything tonight. They want to just push it down and forget it and let it go. They want to do their thing, their way, and forget that God is even alive. The theory of evolution has filled this world so much so that they can make fun of Bible believers. And they do, by their hypocrisy and by all the things that they want to bring up. Satan's first attack, though, was against the woman, Adam's wife, the one God called woman. Look at the book of Genesis, chapter number 2, and verse 18 down to verse number 25. Looking at this passage, we'll find here that there was no helpmeet for man. Verse number 18. God said this. It wasn't Adam that said this. It was God that said this. God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." In other words, God said to Adam, and this is after verse 16 and verse 17, when God told Adam, "Don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Because if you eat that fruit, you're going to die." All right? So don't eat that. Then, verse number 19, God brought every animal that He had created before Adam. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, verse 20, and all the fowl of the air and every beast of the field. But there was nobody for Adam. And so God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And God took one of his ribs. I understand that God took one of Adam's ribs. He didn't take one of every man. He rather took Adam's rib. And from that, he made a woman. He took one of Adam's ribs. One that would be equal with him. He didn't take a foot bone or a head bone. He took a rib. He did not intend for a woman to be above Adam nor below him either. from the rib is equal. The Bible said that he brought her unto the man. Verse 23, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She should be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. They are both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." So, God created this woman to be a helpmeet. And all was bliss until chapter 3 when the devil came on the scene. Satan has caused much difficulty with marriages. I mean, Satan has caused much difficulty, much problems. We won't get into all that about the problems that he's caused with all that. There's more there that we can shake a stick at. But let's stick with our topic. In chapter 3, verse number 4, Satan told a bald-faced lie. This is what it is. See, Satan doesn't care about lying. We need to tell the truth when the truth is told us. We need to understand the truth. Be sure we say the truth as much as we can. Say the truth. If it's for us, fine. If it's against us, say the truth. We might as well. Everybody knows it already anyway, so just say it. But in verse number 4, the serpent said unto the woman, here, the Bible said he's a sneaky rat. What he is. He's no good at all. Satan is a great deceiver. Exactly what he's doing. He doesn't come to Adam. Satan does not appear to Adam. The Bible says that he appears unto the woman. It's very likely that the woman didn't hear the command not to eat of the tree. Because in Genesis 2 and verse 16 and 17, the Bible says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying." And I think Adam here told his wife. But the devil said, "Ye shall not surely die." He only changed one word. He only added one word. God has said, "You shall surely die." Verse 4, the devil only added this one word, "not." You shall not surely die. And he gave his own reasons about it all. It was a bald-faced lie. I tell you what, in the religious world in which we live today, there's lots of lies. Take, for example, do you know what the word grace really means? We are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? I mean, that's how we're saved. We're not saved until we come to the Lord admitting to Him that we are a complete sinner, that we can't do anything but sin. And then we have to rely upon His grace. His mercy upon us. We have to trust Him. Do you know that in a lot of religious world, though, that has totally changed meanings. In many different denominations, grace has been changed from meaning unmerited favor to meaning something you gain by works. People can't be saved by works. It is impossible. You cannot have sins forgiven because of works. You can't. What we do to be saved is simply admit to God that we are a lost sinner and trust God to save us. That's it. God's real good to keep His promises. He's real good to do that. If God ever promises you eternal life, you got it. I tell you what, you got it. We could talk about Lot right there. I really believe that Lot was a saved man. But, boy, Lot was a... He wasn't a very faithful guy at all. The story that we read to you in the book of Job ought to really explain to us the topic of grace. Job trusted God when he had everything, and he trusted God when he didn't have nothing else. Even when his health failed, he still trusted God. And that is because of grace. You can trust God whether things are going right for you or things are not going right. You can still trust God. And this is what Job was doing. He trusted God and always relied upon God and God alone. He said, well, I don't think that I can meet Job's standards. You don't have to. You have to meet God's standards. That's what really counts. You're a person like anybody else. You've got to meet God's standards. Satan has tricked the world, and he is apt to trick us as well. If we will not listen to him, not obey him, and not really do what he wants us to do. You remember David, the king of the nation of Israel? I tell you what, David is a really, really good man. There's two places I want you to read about David. One is in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11. 2 Samuel, chapter number 11. And the other is in the book of Acts 13. Acts 13. Let's read Acts 13, verse number 20. Let me see, 20 what? 22 first. Acts 13 and verse number 22. And this time, in this place, in Acts 13, this is where Paul is speaking. And he's giving a history of the people of Israel. And I want you to see here what he says about King David. The Bible says in verse number 22, and because of our time, we're just going to read this one verse. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. So right after Saul, then David is next. To whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. All right? Now that's what God was saying about David, the king of Israel, that he's a man after my own heart. That did not mean that David could never sin. It didn't mean that David would never be subject to failure because he succumbed to the desires of Satan. It can happen to the most faithful person. It happened to King David. It can happen unto us as well. Now, let's read in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 12. The Bible says here that David Nathan came to David. Nathan is a prophet. And gave him a story. The Bible said when Nathan got all through, tell the story, verse 5. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. This is what David said. This man will now die because he has stolen this little lamb. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold. Well, that's going to be a tough thing to do if you're dead. But this tells us the anger that David had. He shall surely die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said unto David, and I have to say that Nathan had a lot of courage. He said to David, thou art the man. Thou art the man. I can see this scene before me as Nathan proclaims that David is the man. I can see the color go out of David's face as he realizes he's now caught. He says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed thee. Look what he said. I have anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given thee unto thee such and such things. I give you anything. But verse 9, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with a sword of the children of Ammon. Wow. I mean, that's a... All I want you to understand here is that none of us are perfect. I mean, even if God... He said in the book of Acts 13, he said, this is a man after my own heart. You see, why did he say that? He said that because of after his sin, after David committed sin, and after all of it was done, he knew he was guilty, and he prayed to God for the life of the child. When the child was taken away, when the child died, then David understood that the child had died. And he told the servants, he said, now, what I want you to do, I want you to give me something to eat, and I need to go up to the house of the Lord and worship. I mean, that is a great story of redemption. That's why God was able to write in the book of Acts 13 that He's a man after God's own heart, even if we're fooled of the devil himself. If we look upon a woman to lust, And there's a child born. God said to David, and notice here that David is the king. He's not the priest. He's the king. And David said, or God said to David, I'll give you more than what you ever asked for. And he would. He was able to do all that. And just because you failed doesn't mean it's the end of the rope. Doesn't mean it's the end of life for you. You know, there's things that you need to do for the Lord. The book of 1 Kings talks about the failure of Elijah after the great defeat that he had presented to the people. Ahab went and told Jezebel, and Jezebel said, "I'll get you." And David and Elijah then began to run off. You might have felt like running off before. Sometimes you have confusion. I don't mean you fail to ask God for strength. I think sometimes the reason for confusion is that we might come to the Lord and ask God for strength. We might do what He wants us to do. Look in the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter number 19. Elijah says, "Take away my life. You might as well kill me and get over with, because I'm going to die anyway. I'm going to pass from this scene at the hand of Jezebel. I'm going to die. Kill me right now. Get over with." You know what God told him after he fed him? After the cloud came along and all that thunder, light, and all that kind of stuff happened, God gave him instructions. Look in verse number 18. God said, "It's not over with yet." Now, Elijah was very much concerned. Very much concerned. He said, "There's nobody left but me. I'm the only one." And God said in verse number 18, "There's 7,000 in Israel. All the knees which shall not bow unto Baal, and every mouth which has not kissed him." 7,000. Elijah was thinking he's the only one. It's not so. Maybe people we don't know have not bowed the knee either. In verse number 19, God said this. "He departed hence and found Elisha, the son of Shephatah, who was plying with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him, and left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, 'Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee.' And he said unto him, 'Go back again, for what have I done unto thee?' He turned back from him, took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, gave them to the people that eat. Then he rose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him." So here Elisha took upon himself. He said, "I'm going to do what God wants me to do. It don't matter, no difference what happens. I'm going to do what God wants me to do." He took this yoke of oxen and killed them and fed to the people, and it's all done. You know how much time went by before Elijah was translated out. You know how much time went by? Now, in 1 Kings 19 is the time when Elijah said, "It's all over. It is done. It is finished." How much time passed before he was taken out in the cloud and Elisha saw him? How much time passed? Did you know it was about 10 years? 10 years. When is the time to quit? When's the time to stop being faithful to God? When is the work ended? When we're taken out. That's when it is. That's the time. See, Satan has tricked the world into believing that he's got the victory. But he doesn't have the victory. Satan does not have the victory. Notice again what God said to David in 2 Samuel 12, verse 7 through 9, where Nathan told David, "You have sinned. You have killed the man of God. You have taken his wife to be your own. You've done all this." And what did David do? He repented. And God said in Acts 13, he said, "Remember David, my faithful servant." I tell you what, Satan has tricked the world. But we need to always be faithful unto God and realize it, that He is the one that can bless and watch over, keep us safe, regardless of whatever. And whenever you sin, what's the best thing for you to do? Cover it up? No, the best thing to do is just to recognize it and say, "Well, I was wrong." You might as well. Everybody else knows it already. You might as well just say, "Well, I was wrong." Do it. Be right. I mean, that's all you can do. All of us mess up all the time. I pray that we might be found right before God Almighty. I'm glad that God forgives. Aren't you? I'm glad that God forgives. He watches over. He takes care of us. He blesses us. And he gives us His own salvation. I'm so very thankful He does it. You know, God can do the same thing for you. If you're lost tonight, He can save your unworthy soul. He can do that. All you got to do is repent. Tell God. Just be honest before God. Don't try to hide anything. Just tell God exactly what you're thinking. And God can bless. God can take care of you. He can do that. And I pray that the Lord will make it real for you tonight. Okay? Let's stand, if you would, and sing this song. We pray that the Lord would help us tonight to be faithful in Him, that we might receive His blessings and be the kind of people that He wants us to be.